Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 114, stanzas 1, 4, 5, and 7. As thirst the heart for water brooks, so thirsts my soul, O God, for Thee. It seeks for God, and ever looks and longs the living God to see, and longs the living God to see. 1, 2, 5, and 7 of 114.
wish to read from God's holy and precious word this afternoon out of the epistle to the Ephesians, Ephesians 2. But before that, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Ephesians 2. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh, made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto God, unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of heaven and of earth, when we are gathered once again in this afternoon hour, and then we attempt first to draw nigh unto thee, without whom we can do nothing, and we have read it out of thy holy word, what the condition of man is by nature, as it was with the Ephesian congregation, who were dead in sins and in trespasses, who were walking according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. And that is the life, it is the heart of each and every one of us. For thou knowest that we have no desire after thee. O Lord, how can the dead seek after thee? How can the dead have a desire? How can we have a longing? How can we have a thirsting after the true and the living God? When our spirit does go out after the prince of the power of the air, O Lord, thou art able, as we have heard it together in these moments, to quicken us. Thou art able to raise us from that death that we have fallen unto us, that we have fallen unto in our deep fall in paradise. O Lord, we beseech thee. When we are in ourselves without Christ, when we are aliens to the commonwealth of Israel, and when we are strangers to the covenants of promise, and when we are when we have no hope being without God in this world, that thou mayest look upon us in this afternoon hour. For there is no man that has any worthiness, nor is there any man, child, or grown, that is able by his own power to give unto ourselves that which thou dost require out of thy holy law. And when thou sayest, thou shalt love God above all, and thy neighbor as thyself, oh, then we have fallen away so deeply that it is only guilt, guilt, and more guilt. So that there is nothing but pollution and corruption from our side, so that we can only add unto that mountain that is increasing every day. And we have so to appear before thee, O Lord. O, to whom else now can we go? We have heard it out of thy holy word. For by grace are ye saved. Oh, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Oh, is it not our only hope and our only expectation in this hour? We beseech thee then, thou God of heaven and of earth, thou who hast given unto us thy word, that thou wouldst give thy testimony in this afternoon, that word is the truth. That we are unable, that we are undeserving, but that thou art powerful, that thou art almighty, and that thou art willing also to look upon thy only beloved Son. Oh, that thou art willing for all that he has done to gather us also and our dear children unto thyself. Oh, take us then, Lord, take us by heart and by hand, and bring us into that kingdom that shall never be moved, that we also may be built as that a building upon that sure foundation. O Lord Jesus Christ, being the chief cornerstone, O then thy name that will be glorified forever and forever. O bring it out of the mouth of thy people, that they may also testify who and what thou art. For such a creature as that they are, oh, that thou wouldst more and more instruct them also in that way of free and sovereign grace, because it is such an easy way. Oh, it is a way of such liberty. It is a way wherein there is no weight to carry through this world, that everything is taken over by thee. Oh, then a man, when he may experience a little of that rest, oh, then he is looking for that rest that remaineth unto the children of God. Oh, give them to experience it more and more already here below, no matter what the earthly and temporal burdens are, but that the soul may be delivered from sin, and that they may, with a heart and a conscience that is so free,
that they may be given to trust and to rest upon that blood of the covenant. Oh Lord, that they may experience that freedom, and that it may also shine forth from thy church in the midst of the congregation, and that there may be those as a Ruth who may be jealous of a Naomi, even with all her burdens that she had to carry in the midst of this world. But that spirit of thee, that did live and dwell and shine in her heart and in her life, oh, give a blessed and holy jealousy for that portion of thy true church. And wilt thou endow us all together, Lord, with thy Holy Spirit. May it be in this afternoon with a new life by thy Spirit from the dead, and with a new hunger born in our heart, that we may be given by thy dear Son to draw nigh unto God. O Lord, look upon all the afflicted in this world. And there are so many also that do suffer from serious diseases in the midst also of our community. Oh, and we have heard also even of a young man. O Lord, the messages they come to young and old together. Look upon our youth, for they are not exempt from that curse and from that punishment that is coming. And we do not know our life for one moment. Oh, an accident, a sickness, a disease, and our life that can be snuffed out in one moment. Oh, and then to enter into that great and never-ending eternity as one who is without Christ and without God in this world. Oh, bind it upon the hearts of our children, that they may see and feel something also of the seriousness of life, and that they may be given a heart to seek after God and to remember thee in the days of their youth. Remember that young man. Remember others also, O Lord, that have received such messages and that do receive treatments for serious diseases. Remember all those that mourn, those also that are lonely. Remember those that have become old and have ailing bodies and minds. Wilt thou supply for each and every one all that thou would give, that on our short journey between the cradle and the grave, that the callings may be sanctified, that the hearts may be melted, and that thy name may be glorified. Oh, bring us into thy kingdom as those that will be brought in from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. Oh, they shall sit down in thy kingdom from every age and from every language, from every nation, from every race in the midst of this world. And when they are brought in, and we have heard the truth, and we are left outside, then many shall be our stripes, and then we shall be placed upon the lowest part of that bottomless pit. O Lord, prevent it in thy mercy. Bless thy word. Wilt thou look upon our school? Help all that labor therein. Increase also those that may labor therein. Remember our denomination, all thy truly sent servants, increase their number also. And could it please thee to bless the labors that are done also upon the mission fields, thy servant there, and wilt thou strengthen all that labor in that place along with him. Lord, wilt thou go before us. We are here together in this afternoon hour. Oh, that thou may thyself be near to us, on our right and on our left hand. Oh, we beseech thee for thy favor, and we beseech thee for thy nearness. We beseech thee for thy blessing. It is all undeserved, but it is due, O Lord, and thy dear Son is so worthy of it. Oh, that thou may give it then for his sake, that his name may be magnified. And all that blessed mediatorial labor, the suffering that he has accomplished for the sake of his church. Oh, is it not to thy satisfaction Has it not accomplished everything, O Lord? Every jot and tittle of thy holy law? Have we now to do one thing, that we can bring a little more? O Lord, wilt thou show that it is so true what he has said, that it is finished? And wilt thou now give the application to us and unto our dear children? Do it, Lord, for thy name's sake, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 73, stanzas 1 through 4 and 6. The Lord Almighty is my light. He is my Savior ever near. And since my strength is in His might, who can distress me or affright? What evil shall I fear? Psalter 73, stanzas 1 through 4 and 6. And we make the following announcement. The wedding of Adrian Sinke and Jeanette Shipper in Picture Butte this Friday is at 10:30 a.m., not at 11 o'clock. And the last collection today is for the Emeritus Fund. Psalter 73, 1 through 4 and 6. beloved congregation, we read of Moses that the Lord spake to him face to face, even as a man speaketh unto his friend. We do not read it so of any other man in the whole world. From the beginning of time, after the fall, that the Lord has so spoken unto a man in this world. And when Moses descended from the mount, then we read that his face did shine, so that the people, they were afraid to approach unto Moses. So he had to put, boys and girls, a veil over his face so that he could speak to the people again. So he may feel something of the great holiness of God, that man does not even dare to come into the presence of those who have just come out of that immediate presence of God. How those who have stood before Gabriel, the angel of the Lord, were standing there in such fear. Who can say what that will be for us then, to have to stand before the very face of God Himself? And that is then what makes the wonder of our text all the greater, that we have begun speaking about already last week, from 1 Peter 3, verse 18, that second part, those few words, that He might bring us to God. That is a wonder, that is an unfathomably great wonder, that was unfathomably great already before the fall, that God would create such a creature, so high above the creation of the animals, with all the endowments of his mind and of his soul that were necessary, that God Himself may be near unto him. It is an unfathomably greater wonder that the Lord would so bring man back after the fall in such a state near unto himself. Is that ever a wonder to you? Read the Bible. You say, why do I read that Bible? Is that ever a wonder to you, boys and girls, young people, that you have a Bible? Do you ever ask yourself that question, why do I have a Bible? Why has the Lord given to us a Bible? What is now written in that Bible from the beginning to the end? Is it ever a wonder to you that the Lord Himself gives to us His written word to declare unto that fallen mankind that there is a way for that fallen mankind to draw near again, to be brought back unto Himself? Is that ever a wonder that fills your soul with awe? Is it ever a wonder that fills your soul with love? That ever breaks your hard and stony heart? That you may with the Holy Scriptures go into your inner chamber and to lay that before the Lord and to say, now Lord, Thou hast given that word also to come unto me. Is it now possible also for this man, for this woman, for this boy, for this girl, that I also may be brought near unto God. How would that be, boys and girls? If you may be brought to the state house, and you may go and you may meet the premier, or you may meet the prime minister, you may shake his hand, that is not something that everyone is allowed to do. Oh, you say there are only certain people, and if that you may be given such an opportunity in your life, and then there will come times later, there will come times later that you will say to your children, to your grandchildren, I was there. And I actually spoke to him. And he spoke to me. He shook my hand. Do you know what it says in the words of our text? It says that he may bring us to God. Is that not a wonder? Who are they that are now brought to God? You know what the Bible says? They are the richest people in the world. Is that right, boys and girls? They are the kings of the world. Is that right? Ones of high station. They're most intelligent people in the world. They can attain to it. Is that right? That is not right. Do you know what the Lord Jesus says in his word? That he sent his servants. He said, go out into the streets and into the lanes of the city. Go out into the byways. Go out into the hedges, into the fields. And call in hither the poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind. And bring them in hither. Bring them here to me, that I may sup with them, that I may commune with them. That is now the kingdom out of whom, which the Lord is building. We read in God's word, publicans and sinners. How is that possible? You heard it. How is it possible? It is all in that suffering. It is all in that death. It is all in that mediatorial work. Is that not a wonder? Does that not break our heart? What he has done, that such may be brought near unto God. Last time, we began to consider what that means. What does that actually mean? To be brought near unto God. Say that it's not just when a man, boys and girls, he is brought by the Lord into heaven. That is true. No, but there is more. There's something that begins already here upon the earth. And that we have mentioned to you four things. We said the first thing that was a certain sameness, a certain likeness. Spoke about the image of God. Then we said we were going to speak about the knowledge, to know God, that is to be brought near unto him. He said in the third place that it means to become the friend of God, or to be brought, we might say, into the favor of God. Lastly, that is to be brought also into the communion with God. Thus, we want to go a little further. We began last time with that image. And we said that that is to be restored. When the Lord, he will bring a man near to him, then he will restore him in his image. Knowledge, righteousness, holiness. What is the one we didn't do yet, boys and girls? We didn't speak about knowledge yet, right? We spoke first about the righteousness of God. Do you remember righteousness? The word right, that means to do what is right. And now the Lord, what do? We do what is wrong, do we not? You do what is wrong. That is what we all do, what is wrong. And now the Lord, He will make it right. He will make it right. Is that not a wonder? Thus, in justification, then a man is receiving the right, the legal right to draw near unto God, because God, He will receive that people because of His only begotten Son, who has done what was right. Active obedience, passive obedience, thus a legal right that is spoken by the judge in heaven. Do you know where else it is spoken? It is spoken in the heart of God's people. That is in justification. That is a further benefit that is given unto God's church if they may come to know that justification. That is a great blessing for God's people when they must confess that they have done nothing right, when they must confess that they can do nothing right, that they will do nothing right, when they must confess that it is all guilt, when they must confess that they deserve to be far from God forever and forever. And then the Lord, He says, because of what my Son has done, He says, I declare you, you may go free out of that prison and you may come again to where I am. A legal right that is from heaven itself. We said that was not enough. Thus righteousness, but now holiness. Holiness also has to be restored in that people. Why? Because what are they? They are not only wrong, but they are also filthy. They are also corrupt. Thus, that does not have to speak about a right that they are given. They need more than a right. They need also to be made fit to draw near unto God. They need to be washed. They need to be cleansed in order that they may draw near, that the Lord may receive them into His presence. Thus, they need not only to be justified, but they also need to be sanctified. Thus, that is now the beginning of the salvation of that people. Sanctification, the beginning of the salvation of that people. Why is that? Because sanctification, that is now the cleansing from sin. And that is now what has become the pollution and the corruption in the heart and the life of that people. In yours too? In yours too? Has sin ever become the filth of your soul? Has sin ever become an evil to your heart? Has it ever become a burden to you? Because if it has not, well, we were not going to say it so strongly, but we heard it this morning so pointedly. What did Reverend Raynon say? He says, then you are a hypocrite. Then you are a hypocrite. That is true. Because what is salvation, congregation? That is deliverance from sin. And we can speak the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can speak about faith. But if we do not desire to be delivered from sin, then it all means nothing. That is what the Lord Jesus delivers His people from, young people. How is it? Do you desire to be delivered from sin? Because if not, then all of our religion and all of our speaking and all of our confession, that actually means nothing. You will say, how can God's people, how can they be brought near to God when that sanctification is not done yet? When he begins to deliver them, our fathers say a small beginning in this life. You say that it's not done yet. How is the Lord able to bring his people then near unto himself before that cleansing is all the way finished? That is because the sanctification of that people that is also complete only in Christ himself. And thus the Father, he is looking through his Son and that holiness of his Son in order to draw that people in near unto himself. So we have heard it. First part of the restoration of that image of God. And the next part, we say, so what does that mean then? That a man, he is drawing near unto God. What does that mean in the life of a man? Well, that means that also something of that other part of the image of God that is restored unto him again. And what is that other part? That is knowledge. Thus, to be brought near to God, that is to come to know God, to know him as he truly is. The separation and distance that is also in the Word of God, signifying ignorance. So when we are far away from someone, say that is a person we do not know. I do not know him very well. He lives in another place. I do not see him very often. I do not live near him. So the ignorance of that person and the distance away from that person, the separation, those two things, they are going together. But the knowledge of a person that is growing, then those two persons are together. And that knowledge, that is a very blessed part of a relation. Is that not, husbands and wives? What is it now to, what is that relation about? What is part of that relation, a husband and a wife? Well, you say, that has to do with knowing one another. The longer that you live, the more knowledge that you have of one another. And as that knowledge of one another grows, then also that relation is growing. Also that love that is growing between you. And now in the creation, we knew God. We knew him, created in his image. Thus we knew his attributes, we knew who he was, that he was sovereign, that he was mighty, almighty, that he was omnipresent, that he was all-knowing, and so on. Man was created in the knowledge of God, and in the fall, then we lost that knowledge. How do we know that? I think I've said that to you before, children. How do we know that? Immediately, that man fell in knowledge. He did not know God anymore. You say, because he hid from God. He tried to hide from God. You say, could not hide from God. We cannot hide from God. If they really still knew God, then they would not have tried to hide. They hide just as if God did not know everything anymore. Just like God is not everywhere, omnipresent anymore. And they try to hide from him. It is not that they did not know the doctrine anymore, but they are now unbelievers. They did not believe it anymore. Sure, they still knew it in their mind, but they did not believe it in their heart. That is why they thought that they could still go among the trees when they heard the voice of the God in the garden. That is now how we are born into this world, isn't it? Parents, you see that in your children, right? We see it in our children when they are young already. That is how we are born, as Paul said to the Ephesians, dead in trespasses and in sins. The image of God is lost. The knowledge of God is lost. We teach them. We say, children, God is everywhere. And God knows everything. You cannot hide from Him. And yet they lie to us. You do that, boys and girls, or young people. Isn't that right? Do we not say the truth? You think sometimes you are alone. Think sometimes you are alone? Or never alone. Know that. That you are never alone. And when you may believe that you are never alone, that will keep you from sin. But not only that. If you may believe that you are never alone, that will also keep you from despair. Because then there is always a place that you may go. Because you are never, ever by yourself. Oh, do you feel something? How that we have lost this knowledge of God? And if we want to continue in our sin, then what do? Oh, then we are fleeing away from Him. In our fall, we lost that knowledge. Paul, he speaks about the Gentiles, and he says, the Gentiles, they know not God. Thus, man, he is so far from God. He is so far from the knowledge of God. And now, Peter says, that he might bring us to God. Thus, what does that mean? That is to receive the knowledge of God again. How does the Lord do that? To give the knowledge of Him again, that we may know Him again as He truly is. How does the Lord do that? What are the means that you read the Pilgrim's Progress, right? And what was that man reading? Had a book in his hand. That book in your hand too? The man had a book in his hand. And that man, he said, I have to die. And I cannot die. Now I have to appear before God. I do not dare. So in that book, that man, he began to learn who God was. And he began to learn who He Himself was. Thus the Lord, He is using His word. Say, everyone that reads that word? No. No, because it is also the Spirit of the Lord that needs to bless, to sanctify that word. Thus Paul, he went to Athens and he saw there an altar. Many, many altars. They believed in many gods. Then he saw one altar, and it had an inscription on it, and it said to the unknown God. To the unknown God. Thought they missed a God. And did that. They missed the true God. They did not know who He was. They knew there was a God. Because you look at the heavens, you look at the earth. Thus there must be a God. That is obvious, that is evident, but who is He? Why did they not know Him? They did not have the Word of God. They did not have the special revelation by which the Lord, He is revealing unto men who that He is. Oh, if the Lord will convert you, children, if the Lord will give you a new heart, do you know what will become so precious to you? This book. That book. The Word of God. You have one? I think you have one by your bed. No. Read it in the morning when you get up. Maybe at night you go to bed again. Precious book. That is what it will become to you if the Lord will give to you a new heart. And not only, but also the explanations that are in that book. They're going to be precious to you. You know, you read of that eunuch. He was coming from Jerusalem. And there in Jerusalem, he could not find what he was looking for. Oh, it was, the truth was not there anymore. No, it was as it were a different religion than they had received from their fathers. But he had a book. He had the book. He had the Word of God. He saw something in that book. But Philip went up to him, said, "Do you understand it? Understandest thou what thou readest?" He says, "How can I, except some man should guide me?" Oh, that is why the Lord sends ministers. Soon we hope to have a curatorium meeting. And then there will come men. And then they will seek to enter into the theological school to become a minister. That is not easy, congregation, for that curatorium. That is not easy to discern. And we are but men. And we ask of you that you will also lay that before the Lord to give us wisdom. O children, young people, who's going to stand here in the future? Who's going to stand before you, before your children, to teach them? And who, to whom will you say, "How can I understand it unless some man will guide me?" And when the services of the Lord, they will be precious in your heart, that He might bring us to God. Oh, that cry, that it may come out of your heart every time that we come up to that house of the Lord, to say, "O Lord, Thy Spirit, we have now Thy Word. Send now Thy Spirit, that I also may be brought near unto God." How? What does Peter say? He says, "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins." Thus His suffering, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God. So, that is not only to restore righteousness, that is not only to restore holiness in a man, but also that knowledge, that true knowledge of God. And we cannot know God except through the sufferings and through the death of His only begotten Son. We cannot know Him outside of this. You say, "Why not?" Maybe you have said, young people, once in your life, "Why? Why did the fall have to happen?" Well, how can a man know the justice of God without the fall of man? How could he know it? That God punishes sin. How could he know that in God? How could he come to that knowledge of Him, that He is a just and a righteous God who punishes sin? Well, he could have known it by the fall of the angels, because The angels fell, and they were punished. That is true. But then I have another question for you. There are people, they say, Christ did not have to suffer. Christ, he did not have to die. Why could God not just forgive a man? Just look over the sin. God can just look through his fingers, as it were, not see everything. That is what we do as fathers and mothers sometimes, right? We don't see everything. God can do that too. We say that because we do not know God. How now can we come? How only can we come to that true knowledge of God? Well, that comes through a view of the cross of Christ. Why? Because there we see something. There we see on that cross that God spared not his own son. His own son. What will we do, fathers? You know, we cannot sit, if we were a judge, one of us, and our son was brought in, then they would say, you may not be the judge. You may not be the judge. Someone else must be the judge. Why? Because it is your son. See, because you will spare your son. You cannot have both of those positions at the same time, to be a father and a son. Sorry, to be a father and a judge. You cannot judge in an official capacity your own son. Then you have to take away that other relationship. What does it say in the Bible? A God, he spared not his own son. He is his father. He is his father. And yet, he had to die. And do we expect that we will be spared? Is that what we think? When we have sinned, thought in word and in deed, what does Paul say? That Christ, he hath suffered for sins, that we may be brought to God, that we may be brought also to the knowledge of God. By his suffering, we may know that he is just, and he will not pass by the least transgression. But then it is not only his justice that we may know by that cross. No, by that cross we may know also the mercy. By that same cross we may know the grace of this God. How far a man is from the knowledge of the true God if he knows nothing of his justice. But, O congregation, how far is a man from the knowledge of the true God if he knows nothing of his mercy, if he knows nothing of his grace? And thou that is only learned at the cross. At the cross of Jesus Christ. And there is no knowledge of God that draws a man so close to him as the knowledge of his mercy as the knowledge of His grace. There's no knowledge of God that brings a man to the footstool of the Lord. Did it ever bring you there? One sight of that cross, of that suffering, did it ever draw you as a wretched, as a miserable, as an undeserving creature, as a guilty man, a guilty woman, there to see in that cross not only that justice, but also His mercy, that it has brought you to His footstool, and it has that you may ask Him and say, "O Lord, may I also draw near unto Thee." Let us sing 94, 1, 3, 4, and 5. Thy mercy and Thy truth, O Lord, transcend the lofty sky. Thy judgments are a mighty deep, and as the mountains high. 1, 3, 4, and 5 of Psalter 94.
Thank you.
that he might bring us to God. That is, to be brought close to him from far away. That is, that we may receive something again of that image, knowledge, righteousness, holiness. What does the Lord say? He says, this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. And yet, there will be people that know God and Christ only in his anger, only in his wrath. What does David say? He says, kiss the Son, lest he be angry and ye perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Thus, to know him is not necessarily to know his love. Thus, to be brought unto God, that must also be to be brought into his favor. God is everywhere. God is also, the psalmist says, if I descend all the way to the bottom of hell, he says, thou art there. But he is there with his wrath. He is not there with his favor. He is not there as a friend. Thus God, then he will bring us to him. He will restore unto a man his favor. Do you desire the favor of God? You want the favor of your mother and your father, children, that is good. You desire also the favor of the Lord. And if you have a friend, what do you want from your friend? Say, friend, come over by me. Right? Come by my house, because we want to be together. That is what it means to be a friend. That you may be together. The mediatorial labors of Christ, they are also for the breaking of the enmity. The enmity that is living between God and the soul of a man. The elect, they are chosen from eternity, but they are born under the wrath of God. Lord Jesus said to his disciples, henceforth, I call you not servants, he says, but I call you friends. That is a consequence of what? That is a consequence of his suffering. That was not always so. No, there was a time that man, he became the enemy of God because he has chosen to fight under a different banner. He has said that I am going to choose another side. He has chosen the side of the devil. That is what we have heard in Ephesians 2. That man is walking according to the prince of the power of the air. That was the choice of man. And thus there is enmity. Enmity between God and man. Well, say, God has loved his people from eternity, did he not? Indeed. Have they then become the enemies of God, God's own elect children? Yes. How can God love his enemies? Ah, that is what he says we must do, right? That is what he has done. Even when they were enemies, he has reconciled them unto himself to make them friends again. How? Through that cross. But friendship, that does not go one way, that goes two ways. Right, children?
So I want to be his friend, but he does not want to be friends with me. Thus, God, he is reconciled to his people. But his people, they still have a heart that is at enmity with God. What does Paul say? He said, even as they do not like to retain God in their knowledge. That is what we are. Or is that not so? What do we like to think about? Do you like to retain God in your knowledge? Do you like to think upon God? Or would you rather think about everything else in this world? What would you rather? If we want to sin, when we know it is sin, how close do we want God to be to us? Say we want him to be far away because I want to go in this direction and I know that it is wrong. But let God then hide his eyes from me. Do not come too close to me because we are not a friend of God. There's not only the whole world, that is also his elect. So his elect. And I see also a conscience. And yet, he was loved by God. And now what does the Lord do? He turns that around. He changes the heart of a man. He changes his very will. Because when your will, you want to do children, you have a friend. How does he become your friend? You say, well, we have the same, we like the same things. We like to both do these kinds of things. Or those two people, they like to do those kinds of things. The same will. They go in the same direction. So the Lord is doing to his people. How does he do it? Do you know how he does it? Our will that goes after everything in this world, does it not? We want to build our palaces, our businesses, and everything in this world. And we do not like to retain God in our knowledge. And then God comes to his people. Then he gives him a burden. He gives this one an affliction. That one he takes away a child. This one he gives a disease. That one cannot go forward in his business. And whatever that it may be in this world, then the Lord is bringing affliction by times in the life. Read, it is an afflicted and a poor people. Then they experience something. I do not want this way. The fish that can go to heaven. I want it different in my life. And our will. That is not according to the will of the Lord. And now you know what the Lord does? Makes that people like Job. That man, you know what he said in his affliction? He said, the Lord gave. And when his wife said, curse him. Curse God and die. No. The Lord gave. The Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, that will. Do you know what the Lord Jesus said to his disciples? He says, you are my friends if you do whatever so I command you. Then he was their friend. Were they equal friends? He said, no. Lord Jesus, he was God. And yet they were his friends. Why? Well, their will. Their will that was made one with his will. How is that, husbands and wives? The Lord, he says to you, Wives, submit yourself to your husband. Why does the apostle say that? Why does he have to admonish a wife to say that, to do that? You say, because that is not so easy. Well, why is that not so easy? Sometimes it is easy. When your will is the same. When the will is the same, then it is easy. And when the will is not the same, then it is hard. Oh, then there can be bickering. And there can be arguing. We do not want to go the same way. But when that will is together, then there is rest. Then there is peace. And now what does the apostle say? That he might bring us to God. What? How? Those sufferings. Those sufferings. What does the Lord do? Well, he gives that people an eye. An eye of faith to look upon him for a moment. And then they may see something. And when they may see what he has suffered and what is the cause of his suffering, oh, then all what they have to endure in this life, and that is nothing. It is nothing. And you know what they say? They say, oh Lord, Lord, that I could just be as clay. Lord, do with me whatever that thou wilt. Here I am. What do you say of that man? That is a man who's close to the Lord. Is close to the Lord. Oh, that we could be given a life that is living so close to him that the Lord brings a man, the heart of a man, into fellowship, that he may experience his favor and that his will may be reconciled, so reconciled to the will of God, that the Lord can do with him whatever he pleases, that as a people are being made ripe. Being made ripe to depart from this world, that they may be with him forever and forever. O congregation, how is it now in our heart? Do you understand that a little bit? We are not finished. We don't have time to finish yet this hour. But what does that now mean? To be brought near to God. Oh, to receive a little again of that blessed righteousness, of that blessed holiness. Oh, to receive a little again of that knowledge, of that God whom I have departed from. Oh, that I would know who he is. And all his attributes in his justice, but also in his mercy and in his grace, and that my heart may be made so reconciled to his will that he may be sovereign, that I may be his servant. Oh, to come into that blessed favor of that God, that I may be a friend. O Lord, grant it to me by thy grace for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord of heaven and of earth, look on us. O thou knowest our hearts, and thou givest in thy word that message that it is possible to come again near to thee, the true and the living God. Thou hast given thy Son. He was willing to come to this sin-cursed earth and to suffer and to die and to pay the price. Send then also thy Spirit, that he also may work in us those desires, that new life, and that we may be thy friends, Yea, that we may be thy sons and thy daughters. Wilt thou remember us in the rest of this day, and give us blessed meditations upon thee, who by nature do not like to retain thee in our knowledge, but give us a desire therefore, and that it may be the beginning here in this world of that blessed eternity, where we shall be with thee forever and forever, if we may begin it here below. Be with us in the labors of our hands. Keep each one in safety in the week to come. Bring us with desire once again also to thy in this week to thy house of prayer, when we hope to commemorate thy ascension into heaven. And wilt thou help us to bring thy word? Wilt thou forgive and take away all of our sin? For Jesus' sake, amen. 65, all the stanzas, grace and truth shall mark the way, where the Lord his own will lead, if his word they still obey, and his testimonies heed. 1-4 of Psalter 65.
Thank you.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. And the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.